Bhakti Ratnakara. Sri Acharya was eager to see his favorite associate Narottam, and he traveled quickly from Kanchanagaraya to Kethuri with his disciples. I will mention the names of some of the favorite devotees of Srinivas: Ramchandra Kaviraj, the man of extraordinary qualities, Sridas, Gokula Nandanacharya, a most kind-hearted Vaishnava, Sri Krishna Vallabha of Dehuli Gana, Chakravarti Vyas Charya, a famous devotee, Sri Vallabha Kanta Kaviraj, an image of devotion, who caused panic in the hearts of heretics, Sri Nrisimha Kaviraj, a great poet, his brother Narayan, the best of all poets, Kanapura Kaviraj, a perfect gentleman, Bhagavat Kaviraj, a highly qualified person, whose brother was Rupa Nimuvira Bomalaya, Sri Gokula of Serga, and Panchakuta Kavindra Bhaktatul of Kadat, Ram Krishna and Kamuda, two great Brahman, Chakravarti Shamdas, Sri Ramachandra, Ramacharana, the brothers-in-law of Sri Acharya, Sri Rupa Ghatak of Jajigram, and Sri Gopal Das of Kanchanagaria. All these disciples traveled from Kanchanagaria to Kethuri with Sri Acharya. On their way, Sri Acharya told Ramchandra that they were traveling to Kethuri via Budari, where the younger brother of Ramchandra lived. Srinivas wanted to know who would travel ahead to inform Ramachandra's brother that they were coming, but Ramachandra informed them that there was no need to send news of their arrival, for everyone knew, as they were speaking, a person from Budari offered obeisances at the feet of Sri Acharya and gave him news of the well-being of their village. He told him that Sri Govinda and others were eagerly awaiting. Even though they had no telephone or anything, the word would spread about these great personalities just by people hearing about it and running ahead and telling everybody. But we can't even inform everybody when we've got email and internet, you know, Facebook, and so many attempts we make. There's still that group of people, their religious group in America, the Amish. They don't have any telephone, any electricity. Thousands of people, but somehow they can inform everybody about it. Just by telling one person, telling another. They stay together. All these disciples traveled from Kanchanagaria to Kethuri with Sri Acharya. On their way, Sri Acharya told Ramachandra that when Srinivas had gone to Vrindavan for the second time, Ramchandra had accompanied him, and at that time Govinda had moved to Tela Budarigram. At that time, Sri Govinda had dedicated himself to the grace of Srinivas Prabhu and cherished the hope of one day meeting him. From Vrindavan, Srinivas Prabhu had gone to Vana Vishnupur with Ramchandra. Stopping at Jajigram, Kantaka Nagara, and Kanda. In Kanchanagaria, Srinivas and his followers had performed a great Sankirtan festival. The residents of Budari felt fortunate that Srinivas had also come to visit them. The messenger thus spoke sweetly to Sri Acharya, bowed again to Srinivas, Ramchandra and others, and then took his leave from them. Hastily returning to Budari to report the imminent arrival of Sri Acharya Prabhu in the village, crowds of people gathered to greet Sri Acharya when they heard he would soon arrive in Budari. Without a moment wasted, Sri Govinda and others made all types of arrangements for Srinivas Prabhu. They prepared some houses nicely and then went to receive Acharya and his companions. The people of Telaya Budari, Burari, were happy to receive such perfect Vaishnavas, and they brought many useful things for their respected guests. Sri Govinda requested his elder brother Ramchandra to dedicate himself to the feet of Sri Acharya. Ramchandra was moved by Sri Govinda's sincerity and then spoke to Srinivas on behalf of his brother. Srinivas was glad to take Sri Govinda as a disciple and give him diksha in Radha Krishna Mantra. Both brothers then dedicated themselves to the service of Srinivas Acharya. Sri Acharya then wondered when Ramachandra would get the opportunity to meet Narottam. Sri Acharya felt that Narottam would arrive soon. They had not met for a long time. And although Sri Acharya had written a letter to Narottam earlier, he was afraid that Narottam did not know about his arrival in Budari. Just as he had decided to send a person to Narottam, a Brahmin came to meet him. The Brahmin was enchanted by the attractiveness of Sri Acharya, surrounded by his disciples, and fell at the feet of the Mahanta. Sri Acharya asked his name and other particulars, and the Brahmin replied that he was Durgadas of Keturi, a worthless fellow who had been rescued from the refuse of worldly material life by Sri Narottam Thakur. When he heard that Acharya Prabhu was in Budari, he came to meet him without informing anyone else. Sri Acharya asked Durgadas about Sri Narottam, and the Brahmin informed him that after coming to Kethuri from Nilachala, Narottam had boldly established the doctrine of devotion by defeating the heretics. By the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Advaita, he was able to silence the wicked and atheistic people. He had installed 5 deities of Radha and Krishna, and had also discovered the deity of Sri Gaura with his consort. When the Brahmin Durga described the discovery of the deity, there was a fortunate person named Vipradas who lived in a small village called Gopalapura. He had a granary in the house, but no one would enter there for fear of snakes. Snake charmers had come, but even their mantras would not bring the snakes out. Strangely, the mantra made the snakes more angry, because they have mantras that control snakes. Still in Mayapur, those guys, snakes will just do whatever they want. But these snakes got more angry. Like some ghosts usually run away, but there's some ghosts that like kirtan. In the morning, Thakur Narottam went there, and Vipradas fell at his feet. He humbly inquired why he had come to his house, and Narottam informed him that he had urgent work in the granary. Vipradas emphatically forbid Narottam to enter the granary as it was full of snakes, but Narottam assured that the snakes would all run away, and he opened the door by force. Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and told him that there's a deity buried in the rice there, and he should go get it. But
so this is what this granary,
where they keep the grains, the house full of rice. I was just going to say that. I thought maybe you didn't know. Grains. So they keep, you know, they have a storage place.
Yeah, yeah.
They have those here?
Mm-hmm.
They don't grow grains in here? They grow wheat or... Anyway, to their amazement of everyone, the snakes did leave, and Narottam came out carrying the deity of Lord Gaurachandra and his consort. Thakur Mahashai carried the deity back to his house. Sri Santosh Dutt, a disciple of Sri Mahashaya, took the initiative to build a temple and throne for the deity. That's his father, the king. Durgadas also informed Srinivas that Narottam Das Prabhu always waited eagerly for Sri Acharya's arrival. When Sri Narottam learned that Srinivas was next, he decided to cross the river Padmavati today. Tomorrow morning he would come to Budari. That news brought news to the heart of Sri Acharya and his companions. He blessed Durgadas and spoke to his companions about the good qualities of Sri Narottam. The village people were quite happy to know that Sri Narottam would also come there the next day. They passed the night without sleep, eager to go to the house of Ramchandra. Early the next morning, Ramchandra Kaviraj was an ocean of devotional qualities, and when he heard of the imminent arrival of Narottam, his emotions grew turbulent. Although he did not reveal it to anyone, he finished his duties properly, but while Sri Acharya and his companions, Ramchandra sat awake thinking about Sri Narottam. Mahaprabhu appears in a dream of Sri Ramchandra. By the wish of the Lord, Ramchandra fell asleep for some time, during which Sri Gaurasundara appeared in his dream. Ramchandra saw that the Kandarpa-like beauty of Mahaprabhu, whose golden skin radiated like lightning and whose head was covered with curly, silky black hair. The flower garland hung from his beautiful neck, and his attraction could only be compared to the autumn moon. His ague eyes were reservoirs of mercy, while his long arms and hands reached down to his knees. With a majestic gait resembling that of an elephant, he stood before Ramchandra. Ramchandra was enchanted by his vision of Sri Gaurachandra, and at once he lay prostrate on the feet of the Lord. Mahaprabhu took Ramchandra on his lap and drenched his body with tears of love. With a compassionate smile, Mahaprabhu said, "By my desire, you do not know your real identity, but you are as dear to me as Narottam." He further ordered Ramchandra to inculcate the doctrine of devotion and join Narottam in rescuing mankind from sin and suffering. Thereafter, Mahaprabhu disappeared, and having lost his vision of the Lord, Ramchandra cried until tears rolled down his face like rivers. Mahaprabhu could not bear the lamentation of his favorite disciple, and he appeared again to console him. Mahaprabhu also appeared in a dream of Srinivas that night and told him everything about Ramchandra. No one could understand the motives of Mahaprabhu, for he was always bound by the love of his devotees. The arrival of Narottam Thakur. When Ramchandra awoke the next morning, he completed his routine duties such as evacuation, bathing, and religious prayers. But throughout these duties, he thought only about his meeting with Narottam. Meanwhile, a messenger arrived and bowed at the feet of Sri Acharya. He reported that Sri Thakur Mahashaya had crossed the river Padmavati and was on the outskirts of the village. Sri Acharya and his disciples went forward to receive them. When they met outside the house, Narottam bowed at the feet of Sri Acharya, but Srinivas immediately embraced him tightly and held him for a long time. Then Srinivas Thakur introduced Sri Narottam to Sridas Acharya and others. Although Ramchandra observed Narottam and his heart was moved by emotion, he did not speak at all. Sitting alone in a quiet place, Sri Acharya asked Narottam about the well-being of Kethuri. Narottam humbly reported that he had gone to Godadesh according to the order of Sri Prabhu, and he engaged himself in the worship of the deity, the service of the Vaishnavas, and the performance of Sankirtan. He had received the mercy of the deity, and thus he had built a temple for the Lord. He had hoped that on the day of the full moon in the month of Palguna, Sri Acharya would install the deities in the temple. Srinivas' arrival was much later than he expected, and he feared it was too late to arrange for the festival. Srinivas assured him that the delay had been the wish of the Lord, and he told Narottam about his marriage, his visit to Vrindavan, and other incidents. They passed a long time talking together, and then Thakur Mahashaya and others went to sleep. In their respective houses. Sri Acharya Thakur felt so anxious about the task of organizing the great installation festival that he could not sleep at night. He wondered to himself whether the associates of Mahaprabhu would come to Kateri or whether Gaura Rai would fulfill his desires. Srinivas cried miserably in anxiety and moved by affection for his devotees. Mahaprabhu appeared to Srinivas in a dream. He consoled Srinivas and told him not to be anxious. He advised Srinivas to send invitation cards everywhere. Those devotees who were suffering in separation from the Lord would surely come and participate in the festival. Mahaprabhu also assured Srinivas that the devotees' desires of Srinivas would be fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord and that the festival would be successful. Thereafter, Mahaprabhu disappeared. That was the first Gaura Purnima festival they were planning.
Mahaprabhu said this word, do not, I don't know this word,
I can't hear you. You have to, it's really noisy and my ears are ringing. You have to talk really loud.
Be anxious, do not be anxious.
Worry, don't worry. Don't worry, it's going to be all right. He was wondering if it's near the festival, if anybody will come and all these things. But anyway, you hear about it. The next morning, the devotees assembled and Acharya took pleasure in sending invitation cards everywhere. He wrote the invitation cards in verse form and selected 15 persons to carry the cards to Navadvip and other places. He sent one card to Shamananda Prabhu in Utkala. Soon everyone knew that on the Phalgun Purnima there would be a grand festival in Kateri. The residents of Talai Budari, Bahudurapur, and many other places were happy to hear the announcement of the festival. Sri Acharya and the devotees engaged themselves in Sankirtan throughout the day and night. Sri Gokula, Sri Devidas, and other favorite disciples of Sri Mahashaya sang beautiful kirtans accompanied by musical instruments. One day the wife of Srinivas Acharya spoke to him privately, and after that conversation, Sri Acharya entrusted Ramachandra Kaviraj to the care of Narottam Das. Sri Narottam Das was very pleased, and on the order of Acharya, he left with Ramachandra for Kateri with the intention of returning quickly. Narottam and his group crossed the river Padmavati. Sri Govinda, the younger brother of Ramachandra, satisfied his guru Srinivas by his sincere service. When Srinivas asked him to describe the Leela of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Govinda wrote many works in prose, poetry, and music. For his writing, Sri Acharya bestowed upon him the title Kaviraj. Later, Sridas sang the songs which had been composed by Sri Govinda. A respectable Brahmana named Shamdas lived in Bahadurapura village near Budari. His younger brother, Vamsidas Chakravarti, had an affectionate nature. From his childhood, he yearned for knowledge, and he had a strong devotional leaning toward Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he read books on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He had not taken his diksha from anyone, although he was eager to do that. When he heard that Sri Acharya had arrived in Budari, he went immediately to meet him. He found Sri Acharya sitting amidst his disciples in Sri Govinda's house, discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Vamsidas prostrated himself at the feet of Sri Acharya. He looked at the Acharya for a long time and then returned to his home with tears in his eyes. The companions of Sri Acharya noticed the sincerity of Vamsidas and thought he must be a favorite devotee of the Acharya. But they did not know that simply the glancing at Vamsidas, Acharya empowered him. Sitting alone in a solitary place, Vamsidas anxiously wondered whether he would get the mercy of Sri Acharya Prabhu. He remained sleepless late into the night, but at last fell asleep and dreamed of Srinivas Prabhu. He was enchanted by the compassionate beauty of Srinivas, who stood smiling at him. Vamsidas immediately accepted Sri Acharya as his guru and fell at his feet. Srinivas embraced him and told him that although Narottam had come to take Srinivas to Kekari for the great festival, Srinivas had not gone with him because he was waiting to give initiation to Vamsidas the next morning. After the initiation, they would all go together to Kekari. He touched his foot to the head of Vamsidas and blessed him. Then he disappeared. That's a dream. When Vamsidas awoke the next morning, he bathed and went to the feet of Srinivas Prabhu. He requested the Acharya and his companions to come to his house. Acharya gladly gave him diksha in the Radha Krishna mantra. Srinivas Acharya goes to Kethuri. Thereafter, Srinivas Acharya and his associates left for Kethuri. Sri Chakur Narottam was glad to receive news of their arrival in Kethuri, and together with Ramchandra and other devotees, he went to receive Srinivas. Sri Santosh Dutt also went forward to introduce himself to Sri Acharya. Sri Thakur and Sri Acharya were happy to meet again, and they went to Narottam's house. Narottam arranged individual houses for each of the companions of Sri Acharya, and Santosh Dutt appointed different people to do household duties. Santosh Dutt is the father of Narottam and is the king. So they arranged houses for everybody, and cooks and servants. Narottam was growing anxious because the time was short and Shamananda had not arrived from Utkala. At last he received news of Shamananda's arrival and he hurriedly went to tell Srinivas, only to find that Shamananda had already reached there. They were all overjoyed to meet once again. The arrival of Janava Devi from Kardaha. Janava Devi, who lived in Kardaha, decided to attend the festival in Kethuri. She simultaneously received a divine message from Mahaprabhu in which he ordered her to go to Kethuri as soon as possible, for Srinivas, Narottam, and others were waiting for her. He also told her that because of the desire of his disciples Srinivas and Narottam, he himself and his intimate associates would appear in that festival to sing and dance in the Sankirtan. Sri Janava Ishvari was overjoyed by the appearance and the instructions of her Lord. She left at once for Kethuri. The people of Kardaha heard about her journey and came out to meet her. She entrusted responsibilities to the correct persons and then gave some important information to Vasudha Devi. She had to console Ganga and Veerbhadra affectionately when she left Kardaha and with her disciples, who were all great Bhagavats. Her disciples included Krishnadas Sarakeli, Madhavacharya, Raghupati Vidya Upadhyaya, Sri Meena Ketana Ramdas, Manohara Murari Chaitanya, Gayanadas Mahidara, Sri Sankara, Sri Kamala Karapalai, Nishringa Chaitanya, Jiva Pandit, Kanai, Gauranga, Nakari, Krishnadas, Damodar, Sri Parameshwari, Balaram, Sri Mukunda Das Vrindavan, and others. She also took many maidservants with her. Sri Janava walked for some distance, but later accepted a man carried palanquin. As she passed through different villages, people came forward to meet her. Nayana Bhaskara of Ali Sahara joined her party, as did Raghunathacharya, the lame brother of Bhagavan. Many devotional people joined their party, including Vanika, a servant of Nityananda. When she reached Anbina, a great crowd of people came to meet her. Chaitanya Das, the son of Vamsi Das, also joined their group, along with Hriday Chaitanya and Hridayananda. You know who Janav is. Vasudha is her sister, and Ganga and Virbhadra were the daughter and son. They were her disciples, but they were born of Vasudha. Janava visits the house of Srivas during her journey. As they approach Navadvip, each member of the traveling party hoped to visit the holy place, although the memory of Mahaprabhu saddened them. As they entered the holy dham, some cried loudly and others fainted on the ground. Sripati and Srinidhi, two brothers of Srivas, welcomed them to Navadvip. When they first bathed in the river Ganges and later went to the house of Srivas, as Sri Janava was wondering why no one had come from Shantipur to meet her, Sri Atutananda and Sri Gopal, the two sons of Advaita Acharya, came with a large party of Vaishnavas to meet Sri Ishwari. In that party were Sri Kanu Pandit, Das Narayan, Vishnu Das Acharya, Kamadev, Janardhan, Banamali, Purushottama, and others. All of them were happy with the meeting with Sri Janava Ishwari, and she was so satisfied by their hospitality that she decided to stay another 2 or 3 days in Navadvip. Sri Pati, Sri Nidhi, and others decided to accompany her to Keturi. Sri Janava visits Kantaka Nagara. In the morning, the traveling party started for Kantaka Nagara, and on their way, Krishnadas of Akaihata joined them. Yadunandan and others warmly welcomed them to the house of Gauranga. Meanwhile, Sri Raghunandana and his companions from Sri Kanda arrived there on their way to Keturi. The numerous mahants in the party were all which was traveling to Keturi included Shivananda, Vaninath Varja, Balaba, Chaitanya Das, Sri Hari Acharya, Bhagavad Acharya, Nartaka Gopal, Jita Mishra, Kashinath Mishra, Nayana Mishra, Kastakata Jagannath, Uddhava, Sri Pushpa Gopal, Raghunath, Lakshminath Pandit, and others. People in the village took great pleasure in the meeting of Vaishnavas. When the Mahantas visited the place from where Mahaprabhu had started the ascetic life, they shed tears in grief. By the wish of Mahaprabhu, they controlled their emotions. After some time, they were glad to hear that Gaska Dadhar had seen Sri Gauranga in his dream. Sri Janava cooked various types of delicious food, which she first offered to Gaura Chandra, and then fed affectionately to the different mahants. Sri Yadunandana and his followers did not take their meal until after Sri Ishwari had eaten. After the meal, they all engaged in Nam Sankirtan in the courtyard of Gauranga. Thereafter, Sri Yadunandana and his followers prepared for the trip to Keturi. Within each village, people were satisfied to see the mahantas on their way to the great festival because of the presence of the great Vaishnavas. Each village they entered became a holy place, and the people of the village became fortunate. That day they rested in the village of Telia Budari, and the happiness of the villages was boundless. When they left Budari for Keturi, the villagers accompanied them to the bank of the river Padmavati. Sri Shantosh Dutt had hired a large boat which took them to the opposite bank of the river. Upon the arrival of the Vaishnavas and Mahantas, Keturi village became the center point of divine happiness. Srinivas and Naratam led the party which came forward to receive the honored guests, and the village people fell at the feet of the great Bhagavats. Seeing their reception, one man commented that formerly the villages had been heretics, but by the association of Narottam they'd all become religious. Srinivas and Narottam arranged individual living places for each guest. The Vaishnavas were astonished to see many living places, such a vast stock of food, and so many attendants taking responsibility for the festival. The people of Kethari forgot their individual miseries upon getting the association of the great Bhagavat, and they all looked forward to the beginning of the grand festival. They considered themselves very fortunate because the village was blessed by the dust of the feet of the great devotees. They were impressed with the decorations on the houses of the Mahantas and on the throne of Mahaprabhu, although the Lord had not yet sat upon it. That's the new temple they built, and the deity wasn't installed yet. The next day was Palgun Purnima, that's Gaur Purnima. And the six deities of Krishna would be placed on the thrones. Tomorrow the great devotees would assemble, and even the demigods would observe the grand festival. They eagerly awaited the performance of Sankirtan. Someone spoke appreciatively of the fortunate king Santosh Dutt, who had taken great care to arrange everything for the festival and decorate the compound which would be used for Sankirtan by erecting a beautiful canopy and placing banana trees all around. Another person commented that never in his life had he seen so many persons making flower garlands and sandal paste. Another person said that he had never seen so many types of musical instruments, nor so many singers and dancers assemble in his life. Another man wished that the night would pass quickly, for the next day would see the Bhagavats and pass the entire day with them. Feeling no need to return home, he chastised himself for returning home simply to eat. Enthusiasm for the festival was heightened by the sound of musical instruments, indicating that the morning was not far off.
Which are the six deities that they are mentioning?
Huh?
You mentioned six deities?
Yeah, that's coming up. Lord Chaitanya, in a vision, he told Narottam to install these five deities. And so they're Radha Krishna, they're different ones. The names are all given in the next section. And then he also told him to go get that deity out from the rice.
Oh.
So those are the six